fața la box.
Nick Barker?
Yeah.
I don't know the name. Nick Barker. B-A-C.
No, I'm not. Doesn't ring a bell to me.
Have you heard from Vodka?
Yeah, he's from Manalis. Let's see, I haven't heard about that before I moved here.
You've been here a year now, man.
If I was ready to talk to him, I said, well, I'd like to know when.
Louis, let me give you an idea. I don't know if you want this Vodka or not, but our news editor in Dallas is Eloy Aguilar.
Eloy Aguilar. Where is he from?
He's originally from not the valley, just across in Mexico, San Miguel, I think, a little town or something. But his family's in the valley. He's worked in Mexico City for us, and now he's up here. He's been here about 4 years. He's fluent in both languages, totally fluent. He's a writer. He's a trained newsman, and he's right here in Texas. If you want your book translated and everything, apart from what we're talking about, Aguilar might be a very good man to do it, because he's a writer.
He lives in Dallas?
Yeah. He lives in Dallas. And you don't have to worry about California or letter writing. I mean, it's right here. He could work this thing out with you. Because Max, we've said from the start, we told Bob a year ago when we first started talking, we'd love to see you get a good book out of it, and you and your daughter make some money out of it, and the whole thing, and the movie, fine. But before any of that starts, there's got to be a starting point, because you can't just sell the book in Texas. You got to sell it around the country. And so something, you know, beat the drums a little bit, so that people start talking about that scandal, Fox 13. Then comes a book, then comes anything else. This is the way it works. And the longer it stays part of history, the less interest is going to be in it. But if you can, any political scandal story after Watergate is going to get a lot of attention in the press. And you'll have, I would guarantee you, if we distributed a story, just the highlights of this scandal, you'd have book people trying to get a hold of you. They wouldn't know where to get you. They'd call us and say, where can we get a hold of Louis Salas? And if you wanted us to tell them, we'd tell them. I did a story once out of Del Rio, Texas, Laredo, about a guy who smuggles into Mexico in a private plane. He loads on television sets and he flies it into the interior. He bypasses the customs and all that, and then they sell it in Mexico. It was an interesting story. I got a call from California from the guy who said, can you put me in touch with that pilot in Laredo? Because I want to do a story and we might do a movie about it. I don't think there is. But that was just one little tiny story. Your story, you get played in the Washington Post, New York Times, and the story would say, you know, this is just the highlights of what happened, because we couldn't give the details. The details would have to come in a book, or you know, a movie, or magazine article, or something like that. But something's got to get it started. Don't you agree, Max?
Yeah.
You could probably cite examples of that too.
Did you see the recent TV deal on Huey Long?
Huey Long?
Mm-hmm.
No, I didn't see
and that. It had one on him, but it was, you know, of all the scandals and everything with him. And it was pretty good, but I think it was an outgrowth of Watergate. It's just the type of thing that people people are interested in nowadays.
Yeah, this Nixon interviews, you know, it keeps the pot boiling a little bit. And that's why the climate, I think, is real good for it. It seems to me, Lewis, you've got nothing to lose now. If you analyze it, you got nothing to lose, but you've got a lot to possibly gain if you let some of this come out. And then sit back and see what happens. You could let some more come out later, or you could go the book route, or even a magazine. You might make a nice bit of money on a magazine. Let someone do a magazine, a total article. Right?
Then this fellow Aguilar put on paper. I'm not going to tell him anything.
No, no. I don't expect you to tell him the story, no. But about the book. Now, what would you do? Would you pay him to do the book or what? Because it would take him a lot of his time to translate. But he's fluent. He's really good in Spanish. Excellent.
How about this fellow, Sam Paul from New York? He was there, half hour.
Yeah? That was a long time ago, wasn't it?
Well, not quite.
Well, what did he offer to do a book or what?
Didn't you read the letter?
Yeah, but I can't remember.
Yeah. And I'm ready to call him in New York.
But you got to get the book in English first, right?
Yeah. That's what I told him before. Because he's a writer in Spanish. He said, don't worry, we got fellows here to translate it.
Oh, yeah. But it would seem to me if you're going to translate that book, you need a guy like, let's say, Aguilar sitting right here, and he says, now, Lewis, you say so-and-so, and you discuss what you want to say. I mean, you just don't translate the words because there may be meaning subtleties that you got to explain what you mean to him, don't you think?
Yeah.
But he'd have, if Aguilar did it, he'd have to share somehow in the... some profit on it, right? For training.
Well, I don't know what his fee is going to be.
Well, he might do it for a fee, or he might say, I'll take 10%
of the royalties.
Of the royalties, yeah. Something.
Well, we came to an agreement. If I like to set up, I go ahead and do it.
Can he call you, or does he have to come here, or what?
Not on the phone.
No?
No, because you don't
No, just
you don't discuss the real thing on my phone.
He's down here sometime, I'll bring him out here.
He could fly down here and you could bring him out.
Yeah, and you could say, bring him by here and you could look him over.
He could sit down like this and talk
well,
to him.
You see, I don't know if you fellas know that. It's very difficult for me to express myself in English.
But you could talk in
Spanish. My God, I'm praying to
him. Yeah.
Well, he's good, so you and he could talk in Spanish.
Yeah. And I wouldn't understand a word y'all was saying, see?
Well, it makes no difference.
I can read it, but it's too fast for us. It's speaking is too fast for me.
Well, that's good. We ought to do that. But then apart from the... Okay.
You get that in your mind. But I promise you, first, and everything else.
No.
If you're not here, I give it to Max.
Oh, yeah, but that was... Don't do that. You don't want to treat me like that, do you?
Well...
2 years now.
Maybe. Suppose you're not here. What the hell, you don't want me to go to Germany?
No. I want you to do it before I go to Germany.
He come back from Germany, huh?
Yeah,
he
can still be here. They won't keep you long there.
Lewis, when you think about it, really, Is there any reason
you
couldn't do it by September?
You said that because you've been working on it. Okay.
Yeah.
I realize that.
Yeah.
And you 100% okay with me. If you were not, I would tell you, well, frankly, you go to hell. Leave me alone. But I'm not that kind of a guy.
Well, I know you now. Yeah. I know you now.
I treat everybody right, but I expect to treat me right too.
And we tried.
Oh,
we
yeah.
tried to be honest and respect your wishes.
You keep that in mind. When I'm ready, you're the first to call my human publicity. Yeah. I already have a publicity worker. Well, take care of that. Oh, you're those days. They won't let me rest. Almost every damn day. Corpus Christi, here from Houston, from Chicago, by Alex. Chicago Tribune. He was the most persistent guy yeah. ever in my life. Finally, he gave it up. He won't bother me anymore.
When was that? What year was that, Lee?
That was 1950.
50? Mm-hmm. He really wanted the story.
49 and 50.
But then the statutes of limitations hadn't run out. You would have been in trouble if you talked back then.
Sure.
Now it doesn't matter, but back then. Listen, everybody's going to sleep about it except us. Everybody's going to sleep on it. You know what, man?
Yeah.
They've written it off as that's history, box 13, or kind of a question mark over it.
Well, box 13 changed history, you know.
Boy, I'll say it changed history. I got it.
You're like what 13 all over the country here, East Texas, Chicago, and all those places that you know. They still devote everywhere.
Yeah, but around the country, the only one they know by box number is box 13.
I bet you all Mayor Dale for his name. I bet you he did that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of things, a lot of things.
He probably had a few boxes he could count on.
Well, you know, every time you hear about Truman, everybody says what a great president he was. And he had all
By golly, I know he was not.
That's what I'm thinking.
All those guys you put in the office there, those 9 judges there, not all of them corrupted. You black was one of them.
Yeah. Yeah. This morning was, you know, today is Hubert Humphrey's birthday. Did you see him on television today?
No. What time?
8 o'clock. Today Show. Today Show.
I listened to you and Bruce Moore.
Oh, well, you were listening to CBS.
Yeah.
He was NBC.
Every morning.
Oh, it's okay.
They didn't say anything about it.
They had him on there. They had Humphrey on. They had a birthday cake. And you know, he's got cancer. He had cancer. A cancer. But he looks good. He looks really good.
I mean, this fellow that runs that show, Good Morning America. What's his name?
Hartman.
David Hartman.
Hartman, yeah.
What channel is he?
He's ABC.
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 ABC, yeah. My preference is to go to Bruce Walton and all that.
Hughes Rudd. You know, Hughes Rudd's from Waco.
Is it?
Yeah, he's from Waco.
I like that old man. You don't know him, but I sure like him.
I don't know, have you ever seen that? That's a hour by hour of the vote count on the Steve. I don't know where I got that. Maybe, did you give me that? I don't think. Hour by hour how the votes.
Population 1948. Then started going off.
And see, that's when Stevenson Stevenson had the lead, I believe.
I had to say that.
He won that election. He sure did.
He just didn't get elected.
That's all. Because the machinery opposite. He was too strong for him. Very well. But you know, I gave you this.
Did you give me?
Yeah. You know, Crook Stevenson, when he ran for governor, he had all the votes from New Wales and Duval. And
yeah. He was popular then.
He was on our side.
Okay.
That's what all George Bush said. The king on our side no more, says, gave him 4 votes. All right. That's what we did.
4 votes.
Yeah, that's awful. Sometimes I think, well, I don't lose sleep on it much. But we did, it was completely wrong.
But at the time you didn't think so?
No, because I already gave those guys my word that I was going to afford it, and so I had to do it. Just for general peace.
Support the party?
Support the party. Yeah.
Right or wrong, you had to support
it. Yeah, had to support it. Because I gave my word. But we did things there. But Godfather was that much. We did things worse than Godfather.
Worse than the guy?
Yeah.
Do you think that still happens in politics? Or back then, was it different?
Well, I don't know. Not, I guess.
I think it was different.
I was the family was it.
I think so.
Yeah, I remember one time we went to Orange Grove. That's in New Wells County.
Yeah, I know what it is.
A fellow was running the play there. Canales. I worked on Mr. Canales, you for Charlie Price. Yes,
I am. Which I'm gonna cross this place.
So, oh, you don't have the power, you just wait out there. 3 days I close the goddamn saloon. Yeah, just because, like that.
Because he voted the wrong way or supported the wrong man?
Supported the wrong man.
Jeez.
And that's awful. A lot of things like that.
Yeah.
No, that's
you know, that couldn't happen today, Lewis, because he'd go to the newspapers or he'd do something, right?
Yeah.
But back then...
Back then it was nothing.
Yeah. So, in other words, what you got is iron control.
That's what I had. That's what I had.
Because you spoke for George Parr.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When we, George B. Parr and they... And I disagree with when they killed Bill Mason.
Yeah,
Bill Mason was a good friend of mine. And I didn't like that at all. So I think you go away on no money.
Well, you told us if he had been a gringo, Parr would have gotten him out.
Yeah. I just think not only things like that. That's when I shot that guy, Manuel Bernal. He had a saloon there in Alice. And he was against our party. He was Charlie Price. When I walked in, his place there, he was talking to 2 or 3 guys there. Here comes that sound bitch. This the Indian. They call me the Indian.
Yeah.
He tossed me out. I pulled my own goddamn shoot, but he got a lot of balls in there. I broke about 3 or 4 of them.
Okay. Scare
him. He didn't get scared. He was going to get something behind the counter, and they're going to shoot him right here. Yeah. Just feed him. Anyhow, he's going to
went like that. And he went to call me, next time I'm going to kill you, son. He got up and run to his house. And called Charlie Price. 11 o'clock, I was in jail.
Yeah? You didn't stay long, though, did you?
No, 4 hours. Everybody got me out.
Yeah.
But they cost me 40, but, yeah, I don't remember right now, $5,800. Was not the spread, I think.
Who got the money?
The army car.
No, I mean, who received the money?
His wife.
The guy you shot? Well, what happened to him then? He recovered from that.
He was not much, just a place. He was not so scared.
Did he join your side then?
Yeah,
he did.
Yeah. Things like that, you know, it was awful there.
Awful. It was, you had the law to yourself there, right?
Yeah, lonely.
Did you?
He was a lone son of his. He was one.
Did you?
I repent now.
Did you carry a gun all the time there?
All the time. Mm-hmm. All the time. I did a lot of damage, but I did a lot of good too. I know that.
I guess you could say that about Parr too. He did a lot of damage, but he did a lot of good. Yeah, that was a period of American history, you know, Max, that was special.
No.
And I told you why was the reason I went on politics and I come to Bengals from the church. That's the only reason I went to politics.
What was that reason?
Did I tell you?
You came to work on the railroad?
Yeah, I came and worked on the railroad in 1926. Nice.
Yeah.
Then Charlie Price was the sheriff.
And you had the woman truck.
Okay, yeah. It was during the prohibition. It was this cafe, Pepa Broquette's cafe. Charlie Price had a woman in there. Kept a woman. And they saw three other girls and they said, Kumpro and it was during the prohibition.
Yeah.
Illegal.
Yeah.
But Pepa Broquette, they didn't do nothing to her because Charlie Price had that girl in the restaurant. It was a whorehouse.
Oh, yeah.
But this woman, somewhere we got involved. I took her away from Charlie Price. One night, Freddy Spears and I, Charlie Spears and Freddy Spears, they went over there and did some bongo. Charlie Price and Tom Grimes, who used to be the county clerk there, they were already there drinking. When we walk in, that woman was sitting with them. Fred and Freddy Spears and I sit on another table. This woman calls. Hey, come over here, come to our table. And Charlie Price had back. Oh, you got them. Don't you come over here, you got them so and so Mexican sound facing you. He cut me out. Well, he's gone. Then Freddy Spears jumped on it. He said, don't do that. You tell him he's got no gun. We'll take your friend out of here. So he said, well, I went out. Yeah. Next day, he went to the office, railroad office. He said, listen, you son of a bitch. He said, those wars. We got 24 hours to leave this town.
Oh, he came right to you and came?
Yeah. Got on the phone, got the train dispatcher in Laredo. Rainmaster, yeah. Tom Landecker. So Mr. Landecker, I had some trouble here with the chair. They're gonna run me out of the county. So please send a relief man. Tom Landecker, Lawrence Landecker, Mike Landecker, they used to run the whole damn thing there with the railroad, you know, three brothers.
Oh.
And they put a good friend on mine, all three of them. And Tom Landecker, he was a trainman, he said, I know you've been up to your same trouble you got here in Laredo, didn't you? Woman trouble. He said, well, I got nobody to send. You just stay there. Tom Landecker married Antonio Bruni's daughter. Antonio Bruni was a big politician in Laredo. Did you hear about Tony Bruni?
Bruni? Oh, yeah. Bruni. The town named after Bruni.
That's what he said. Yeah,
just outside Laredo.
Okay. He was a big politician in Laredo.
Yeah.
Tom Landecker told his father-in-law he was Antonio Bruni. About me. Then Antonio Bruni talked to Wes Mullen, Josh Mullen in West County, to interfere about this business. And I won.
Did they go to par?
No.
Not yet.
Okay. When Josh Mullen called me at courthouse, I want to talk to him. There's nothing but trouble here between Charlie Price and you. You behave, they let you stay here. You know you better move. You want me here, or I have to go back to Laredo where I can. But no, you stay here. From that day only, all Charlie Fred made a miserable. You know.
He made life miserable?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, one time I said, you just wait. Someday I had a friend talking to my wife, Frank Perry Jr. He was a far. He was on Far Side. He used to live in San Diego too. And he knew me. He said, why don't you go in politics? Let's throw over this regime. It's been too long. Well, I'm ready now because I'm a citizen. I can both work in politics. And he introduced me. Frank Perry.
What year was that? 40?
It was 1939. Put it up to 1940.
But you still had this feud with Price.
Yes. So
how long was he sheriff? Just forever?
About 30 some odd years.
So that was part of your reason, in other words.
Did you know Frank Perez came here last week? Yeah.
He did?
Yeah. He came here. So he was here in Houston.
What's he doing?
He had the pearl distributor business in Mission. He was a dealer there. He made pretty good money, right? People that come up here, that's your make money.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
Last week, he got me to go to Asia and then from there got all the name about new place he told us about in Mexico. Cancun Island.
Oh, Cancun?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
That's an elegant place.
Well, he told me he pays everything else.
You gonna go?
No. No, I had enough of this.
How old is he? Is he your age?
Oh, he's about 60.
You had enough of Mexico.
Mexico is one of the richest countries in the world. But it's not bad going. They don't care about the poor people.
When did you start carrying a gun then when you got in politics?
It was in 1940. We started with the city at the same time with the county. And we just came and beat Charlie Price that year. And we beat the city. Yeah. That's when I started going using the gun.
And then you did beat Price, didn't you?
Yeah. First man they run for Chase, McGuffin.
He got it?
No. No election for my daughter. Then Fewer Sang come in. That's when we got our Charlie Price. Fewer Sang. He died too now, just present.
Yeah. Hubert Sang?
Yeah.
I haven't heard that name.
Yeah. And that's the reason I went to politics.
And then you really got into it deep from that point.
Yeah, okay.
Like when you closed this guy's saloon in Orange Grove, how did you close it? I mean, what happened? Did you take his license away, or what procedures were there?
No, we sent the guy there the liquor
control.
Yeah.
Just said he was violating it.
He was not. He just got the power to do it. And so I've been there for years and years. It's been that way.
Yeah. Way of life. Threaten people.
Oh, yeah. And I stayed there in politics 8 years. 1940 to 1948. Just on my feet.
8 years. That's when Parr was strongest, right in the world.
Sure, that's the strongest. Not only in Jim Wells, they had about seven or eight counties. Nueces.
Duval.
Duval, Jim Wells, Jim Paul, Starr. All those counties were bought the way he wanted.
Once you close a guy's saloon down and reopen it, you don't have any more trouble with him. He votes your way.
Yeah. Sure. You got the saloon back?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He did.
Now that kind of stuff would make a good movie.
Will make a good movie. I know.
Is that in your book in Spanish?
It's in the book. Yeah. Yeah.
I'll tell you what, Lewis, when I get up there, I'll get this film guy's name, and I'll call my friend in Victoria, and if he's, I'll pass a hint.
Also, what he wrote, it was fiction.
It's fiction.
But this is reality.
Parr was the Godfather.
Yeah.
He had life or death.
Life or death.
Yeah. That's right. The Godfather was fiction. If you could write yours, it would actually happen in the United States.
Because it is true. It is true. something wrong. They did plenty wrong. Sometimes I didn't think it was wrong. It's kind of comfortable when I have my wife sick and the father doesn't take care of me. How's your wife okay?
Yeah.
Run on. Drug store. They need medicine. You see this? My name, I will give him the medicine. Charge the kids to me. And all that kind of stuff, you know. Funeral. People that have to bury this. I said to Luis Mora. He was in charge of the funeral.
Oh, anybody. Yeah. What's his name?
Luis Mora.
Oh. There's go another ahead. Guy down there. That's just like the Godfather.
Mm-hmm.
He'd arrange for funerals and
everything.
Operations.
He gave me the power when I was nominated the draft. To see who was going to the war or not. That's what gave me the real power.
Oh, yeah? You were chairman?
Yeah.
The draft board?
Eh?
The draft board?
Draft board.
You were chairman of the draft board?
No, I was not chairman. I was a member of it.
Oh.
What I say.
Yeah.
The chamber, the board, do what I please, you know.
You had the real power.
Yeah. Oh, I tell you what.
If you didn't want a guy.
I changed the chief of police, yes, Meisenheimer, George Clay, Funky Ray, Andrews. I changed. Five chief of police in less than 3 years.
How'd you do it?
You tell your I don't like that guy. He's against our people. Get him out. He should this.
The guy just quit or stepped
quit. He stepped down. Put another one.
What? You and Parr must have been awful close. I mean, did you spend a lot of time together?
Yeah.
Were you his number one man? Like if he wanted something done in Orange Grove, you'd go and do it.
I remember one time Luis Ortiz came and he called me Tocayo. His name was Luis Ortiz. Tocayo?
Tocayo.
Yeah. All Hank says he won't pay me for picking the cotton. You know, let's go over there. Please. Went to this farm there, it's about 3 miles north of Orange Grove. The very minute I went in there, this guy, Hank, he's a gentleman. Come in, Mr. Salas, come in. He said, what about this claim? This is what we've done. I guess you won't pay for it. Big cotton picker. Ah, no, he's wrong. He's money. Right here, look.
Why not?
Yeah.
You just had to show up.
Yeah. That's the way you are.
And that lasted about 8 years? Well, it lasted after.
I go in a saloon for 10 or 15 drinking beer. I say the guys. Juan Flores, Gonzalez, Chico. Okay, beer for me. I'm going to stay here 2 or 3 hours. Beer for me. $30, $40. That's a place I can have.
Nobody, you didn't have to pay? Are you signed?
Yes, sir. I looked up and they gave me some. They did. I tell you, it was awful. And
but
the thing that actually happened, I don't know why, but it did. People, you know, I don't understand people. And I don't pay no attention to this police brutality because really it don't exist here in Houston.
Well, what could they have done? Those people had to. They had to bow down to you, didn't they? You lose your job.
This awful. Every year, every election year, it was in 1942, 1944, 1946. We used to buy poll taxes. Mm-hmm. I go to the courthouse there, and said the county clerk, give me 3 or 4 books, poll taxes.
3 or 4 books? That'd be what? How many?
1,000.
You pay cash?
No. I just tell this to Jarvis Park. Only 3 books, poll taxes. I have my assistant. Go up to every house there, give him the poll tax. Free.
What did it cost back then?
$5.75.
$1.75.
The day of the election, they got about 50 to 60 cars. Then we had a meeting. So I'm going to pay you $20 in gasoline. Go and get the boat, come back and get your money.
They take them to the polls, take them home.
Yeah. All that kind of stuff. Every year, to buy the poll taxes, run the elections, pay the election clerks. Through my hand, they pass $35,000 to $40,000 every year. I mean, every 2 years.
Every election?
Full city county.
And Parr would pay the county clerk for the books of...
Yeah.
He would pay for the poll tax.
Yeah. He told me, he said, you know, like you see the news, he said, I said, don't worry about the money. I don't pay for it. Out of my pocket. They come and ask me all the places. Mm-hmm. And they come to power. Don't worry about spending. Spend all you want. And I did. And I was a damn fool. I already kept some of that money. That's right. Now I realize that I was a damn fool.
They probably thought you did keep some.
Yeah. I never did because I didn't show up. I used to live on that little house there.
Yeah.
I didn't have a Cadillac, I didn't have a Lincoln, I didn't have a goddamn phone, that's all. But really, I didn't spend all the money on the people. That's what I say, I did wrong, but I did good too.
Yeah.
Same body, there's a Dr. Garcia in Ali right now, that I sent him to college.
Nobody ever came in to check up? I mean, there were nobody ever?
Nobody, never did. Never did.
Until 48.
The 48.
Well, you said before, you switched though from local and state to federal that year.
Right. Baby. Oh man, what happened to my tail, my little days? I'm still living.
David
said. I think he died.
I'm not sure. I'm
pretty sure he did.
He died.
Because he was pretty old then.
He was not too old.
No, but
40 or 45 years old.
I think he died not too long ago. He got a little mad at Judge Black, you know.
Yeah.
Wasn't anything you could do about it. But.
Well, how come people get that way? I mean, too much power.
Like this.
Like your being.
Hitler. The people have to give it to him, Louis, right? I mean, he can't
why,
take it.
Why they don't rebel?
Well, that's a good question. That's what people say about the Germans. Why did they let Hitler?
Yeah.
But circumstances, you know, if you're poor, if you're out of money and you're desperate, some guy comes along and he helps you out, like Hitler, George B. Parr, you think, or even Franklin Roosevelt during the Depression. People begin to think he's just godlike, special, you know, and then they follow him.
So by golly, it was not during the Depression. That was in 1940.
Yeah, but there was no money down there, was there?
No, it's not exactly big money, yeah. But it was not the way it is right now.
Well, what you know, I've read a lot of stories about Duval County. It always says when George B. Parr defended some Mexicans who were massacred in front of the courthouse,
yeah.
He became like a saint to the Mexicans.
That was when his daddy was.